The following programming is sponsored by BFG LLC. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Everyone, hello. Welcome to Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. I'm the host with my co-host, Pastor Robert Johnson, as well as Bishop Dr. Kevin Aiken. I wasn't able to be on radio last week. Needed to really take a mental health break. Last week and everything. It's good that when you can just take those breaks and things of that nature. And so, you know, it was much needed. And I just thank God that I was able just to listen to the mental health part of my body, which I needed to just take that break. So we're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. All right. Hey, let's want to introduce my guest. We only have her for 30 minutes. Pastor Zamora Ortiz. Hey, Pastor Zamora, tell us a little bit about yourself. This is my sister in Christ from the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. But tell us a little bit about yourself. We're going to get into the subject today.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me, Wayne. It's always good to be with you either in person or through whatever opportunity we have. My name is Xiomara, and yes, I am with the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. I have the blessing and privilege of being the associate coordinator for CBF Florida and the Caribbean Islands. So I'm Puerto Rican. I live in Orlando, Florida, and being Puerto Rican, being in Orlando, it's an interesting thing, and being able to work with, Latinos in the United States, it's very interesting. So it's good to be here. I'm married to a Cuban, Ruben Ortiz, who is also working for the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship at the Latino Field Coordinator. So it's good. It's good to be here and have the opportunity to talk a little bit about interesting things.
So as we get into the subject, I do have to say something to make you laugh, Zamora. When we were training to be life coaches, and I flew in from Philadelphia to Atlanta, I was tired as I don't know what. I haven't drank coffee in almost 10 years. And we met in the lounge area, and you made Cuban coffee. I never forget that. And you gave out little shots of Cuban. This for those who don't know, this ain't that instant mix. I'm talking about some, Pastor Johnson, I'm talking about some real Cuban coffee. And Pastor Johnson, dude, I'm gonna tell you, when I drank that Cuban coffee, I've been hooked ever since. I've been drinking coffee ever since. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah,
out of
you
laughing.
Yeah, yeah, you laughing. I've been drinking coffee ever since. I've been back on the coffee wagon. So, hey, listen, I have to really take a pause right now. I am a political consultant with the Pennsylvania Democratic Party. So I want to say this subject that I am taking on today, or we're taking on, is not a result of the National Democratic Party or the Pennsylvania Democratic Party. It's just me as the show host of Conversation Unplugged on WWDB. We really need to talk about this. I sit on meetings at the local level, and I sit on it at the headquarters levels and everything as we are coming to the election, which is a few days away. So if you are prepared, if you hadn't done your mail-in ballot, please walk in. Let's vote on November the 5th. All right. So there was a rally in Madison Square Garden. On my bucket list, Pastor Johnson, on my bucket list, I want to see the Knicks play in Madison Square Garden. That's my bucket list. I'm a Sixers fan, but that's my bucket list, that I want to go to Madison Square Garden to watch the Knicks play. And news start buzzing that there was a rally packed, to my understanding, at Madison Square Garden, and a comedian who wasn't funny. And that's bad when you got a comedian that's not funny. You got me. At least get me a funny comedian that everybody can just laugh at and everything. So they get this corny comedian, right? I'm not even going to mention his name. And he makes a few disparaging comments. We're going to talk about the first one in the first 30 minutes. And then we're going to talk about the second one in the next 30 minutes. And I'm looking at it because I want to quote this verbatim. He makes remarks and says, and I quote, because of the backlash, he called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. Yeah, he called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. And he said more, you know, the watermelon comment. Yeah, comments about Jews and everything. We're going to hit on that after 30 minutes. And when he made that comment about Puerto Rico, I thought about, you know, Bishop Akins, he said he's waiting in the waiting room. Yeah. I thought about my sister-in-law, right, who is Puerto Rican, mother and father's from Puerto Rico. I thought about my niece and nephew, right? I thought about my church member, my charter member, who helped us start Vision of Hope Baptist Church. She will always be a member. She's from Puerto Rico, and she relocated back to Puerto Rico less than a year ago, right? I thought about my brothers and sisters, Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, Zamora. I thought about Gracie. I thought about others. And there's many more that I can name who are Puerto Rican. And even if I didn't know everybody that I just listed, I would still be ticked off. How dare a non-funny comedian, and I need to put that there, a non-funny. It's bad when you are non-funny, right? N-O-N hyphen F-U-N-N-Y, non-funny, right? It's bad when you have no humor in your humor and you make a despicable comment about Puerto Rico being a floating island of garbage. And we really need to unplug this because there's layers and layers of stereotype and racism in that comment, as well as the watermelon comment, as well as the comment against Jews and things of that nature. But Zamora, just share with me, one who's from Puerto Rico, family's from Puerto Rico, and you heard this particular comment. What was your first initial reaction? And what is, we all know what's wrong with this comment, but let's educate those who are listening to us either on Facebook or listening to us on WWDB 860 AM in Philadelphia. Tell us your first reaction, and really let's unplug what's really wrong with what he's with what he said. I almost did the stupidity of what he said, but I'm going to just step back and just say what's really wrong with what was said from a non-funny comedian.
Everything is wrong with it. Everything in so many levels. Interesting. I was in Puerto Rico when that happened. As you know, I have the opportunity to work with Puerto Ricans. I coordinate the region of Florida, which Puerto Rico is part of our region. And I come here every month for two weeks, and I work with fantastic ministers, women and men, especially women in ministry. So I was here for the ordination of one of my pastors. And when that happened, right? And it's so interesting how my reaction, I didn't laugh because it was funny. I laughed because I was like, you can expect things like this from people like that. Mm-hmm. And everything is wrong about it. And the difference is that it was now mentioned, you know, by name, a floating island called Puerto Rico. But this is not new in this campaign. You know, this is not new. This has been happening since 2016, maybe before. The difference is that now it was a name, Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. But Latinos in general have been mistreated and have been called every single thing that you can think of. This is not the first time we're called trash or garbage. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been called rapists. We've been called criminals. We've been called everything that you can think of. So what is wrong with the comment? First of all, it was not a joke. You know, trying to make a joke, you become the joke. Mm-hmm. That's what happened there. The problem is that when somebody says something like that in a rally, in a political rally, you give permission to continue doing what they've been doing since 2016, discriminate, mistreat, abuse people. And we being the target, Latinos has been the target for a long time. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with it? Everything. Why Puerto Rico and why people are so upset about it? Because Puerto Ricans are American citizens. We are born.
That's right.
American citizens. We don't have to become a United States citizen. Puerto Rico is part of the United States in every single way, mm-hmm. from the money that we get to go to school to the money that we give so we can fund military and social services and everything you can think of. Puerto Rico is a force in every way, economical, mm-hmm. political, military. Let's not talk about mission work around the world and ministry work. Puerto Rico, it's there, like every other Latino in the United States, but now it was named. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it was targeted to us is because among the Latinos in the United States, and the problem with it is that we can all vote.
That's right.
Not all Cubans vote. Not all Mexicans vote. Not all Latin American people vote. But Puerto Ricans, we can all vote because mm-hmm. we do not have to become citizens to vote. So I think it was targeted and it was intentional because at this point, there's no, I don't think anybody is deciding who they're going to vote for. I think people already know who right. they will vote for, but targeting Puerto Ricans was going to the extreme where, okay, I'll give you all the hate that you need. I'll give you all the racism that you need. I'll give you all the tools that you need so you vote for me. Because we hate Latinos, you know. So I think it was wrong in so many levels, but it's not new, Wayne. This is not new. This has been the way of this campaign for way too long.
Wow. Wow. This is great insight. Bishop Dr. Kevin Akins has joined us. So thank you, Bishop. And thank you for sharing with me that you were waiting. We'll make sure we got you in. And just a quick 10-second plug, and I'm going to ask Pastor Johnson to lean in. Bishop Akin is not only pastor but entrepreneur, the best barbecue in Philadelphia, en route from West Philadelphia to North Philadelphia. Well, we're going to give you time to be able to talk about the best barbecue in a city of brotherly love. Pastor Robert Johnson, Pastor Robert Johnson, talk to us, bro.
Well, you got to understand that, like my sister said, this was targeted, this was personal. Mm-hmm. And it should have been expected. It should have been expected because we know that everything that has happened with this campaign has been divisive. Everything that happens with this campaign, he has signaled out the other.
Mm-hmm.
He has made Puerto Ricans, Latinos, the target of divisiveness.
Mm-hmm.
From the Haitian comment in Springfield wow. to the floating island of garbage, mm-hmm. which they don't understand that you're talking about a voting block that you might need to win the election.
Mm-hmm.
But what you've done is you have disparaged them, not understanding that there's a lot of Puerto Ricans who are married to Americans,
mm-hmm.
and when I say Americans, I mean married to other folk like African Americans and white Americans. And I have a lot of Puerto Rican brothers and sisters who have been in their weddings, who have done their weddings, and they are really a really tight-knit, wonderful group of people. But what we've done is, here's what we've done. What he has done is he has tried to make the divisiveness between, and not understanding that in doing the divisiveness, what you've done is you've brought people of goodwill together.
That's right.
To fight against the racism. And that is going to be further accentuated by the fact that a lot of people, as my sister said, does not understand that Puerto Ricans are Americans.
That's right.
They don't understand that. They don't understand that. And that was something I had to say to people in my congregation and to say to them, wait a minute, my Puerto Rican brothers and sisters are Americans. They're born Americans. It is part of who we are.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the other. They're one of us.
That's right.
And so the divisiveness that he that he tried, it did nothing but to coalesce those who have been maligned, those who've been rejected, those who have been talked about, those who have been disparaged. We're coming together alongside of our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters and saying, listen, if they did it to you, they did it to us. And we're going to stand together with you against this disparagement for our brothers and sisters. And this is not a moment, I believe, that we're going to stand against. I think this is a moment we're going to stand together arm in arm, hand in hand, and heart to heart to call out the racism and the disparagement of our Puerto Rican brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he even went further than that. But this to me hits home because, you know, the devil always tries to divide.
That's right.
But God is always a God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll use this division moment to bring unity in the body.
As Bishop Dr. Kevin Akins blesses us with his insight or questions for Sister Zamora, I know we're connected because we're Americans, but our connection, I want to just educate those who may not know, our connection goes deeper than just America, because when slaves were taken from Africa and brought over to America, it was the Middle Passage. So one of the stops was Puerto Rico, Jamaica, Haiti, et cetera. You got me, the Caribbean islands. So it wasn't that slaves was just brought from Africa to America. It hit the Caribbean islands and then also America as well. So that connection goes all the way back since our ancestors was taken or delivered with because of trinkets off the West Coast, you know, in West Africa. So all that being said, I had to have that educational moment. Bishop, Best Barbecue in Philadelphia. But Bishop, hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing? Good to be in this discussion. Something that has resonated last couple days or have you this week. And knowing that the challenges that have occurred, of course, in Puerto Rico and all that kind of things that has been happening, then to actually hear a comedian say the things that he said. How has that, and I'm saying this and asking this question, how has the negativity bring about a positive surge in and around, of course, Latinos and Puerto Ricans? It's the importance of knowing that you have some that are hurling these accusations or what have you, you know, to a populous people, wanting to know exactly how has that brought you all together, and I think that's kind of important to look at, especially when it comes to this campaign or what have you for voting of the administration.
You know, it's interesting because one of the things that I've been thinking about since all of this started is not just how, you know, Puerto Ricans are very passionate about Puerto Rico.
Right,
we have flags everywhere. Mm-hmm. Puerto Ricans are passionate about Puerto Rico.
Right.
We're committed and that's who we are. We are Puerto Ricans wherever we go. Now, Puerto Rico is a colony of the United States. And that's why we are, you know, Americans, North Americans.
Right.
And when these things happen, we have to, like you said, what's the positive that is going to come out of this?
Right.
Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico do not vote for the president, but the Puerto Ricans in the United States, in the mainland, they do vote.
Right.
But we have to understand, and this is something that I always tell my people, when we go to the United States, we don't necessarily vote immediately. It takes some time for us to kind of get a hold of the political, you know, situation and decide and vote. People, Puerto Ricans need to educate themselves in that sense.
Right.
You know, we do have the opportunity and the responsibility, but at the same time, when things like this happen, we have to wake up, like we say, wake up and smell the coffee.
Right.
These things can happen. And yes, we are Americans, but we can be targeted. You know, the same way Asians were targeted not too long ago, just for a simple comment in a political space, Puerto Ricans can be as well. So I think that this gives us Puerto Ricans in Puerto Rico and in the mainland the opportunity to grow in knowledge and to learn and to expose ourselves to things that are happening and not just believe based on either the color of your party, or whatever your history, but right. let's really talk what let's talk the talk, you know, let's right. really right. think about what's important. Mm-hmm. Because if not, we're not in any advantage. You right. know, we need to know right. that it happened in a second,
right.
in a second.
Right. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. So we know the impact and everything like that. We deal with the stereotypes that's perpetual. And when someone shows you who they are, actually believe who they are. You follow me? When they show you who they are, believe actually who they are. And the reason why I'm looking down some more, we read this scripture about a month ago, Pastor Johnson and Bishop, when after the debate, Trump made those comments about Haitians, right? And we read this scripture, James chapter 3, verse 6. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. And this is what we've witnessed at Madison Square Garden. Let me ask this question, and if it's uncomfortable to answer, no problem. I don't want to put you in an uncomfortable situation. Evangelicals have been very, very vocal about abortion, but been very silent about the comments made about Puerto Ricans, African-Americans, Jews, etc. What's your thoughts about evangelicals' silence on the fact of the stereotype that was mentioned by a non-funny comedian about the stereotypical things that were said about Puerto Ricans?
You know, that's a good one for me, because I think every single person in this world is pro-life. We all want to be pro-life. Like, we want people to be happy. We want people to be fulfilled. We want people, I mean, the fullness of what it means, the fullness of what loving life, loving people means, right? Not what we've made it. And it's funny how we can talk about against something very specific like abortion, but we don't talk about death penalty mm-hmm. or gun control. That is also pro-life. You know, what kind of life are you protecting? You know, how what's the lifespan of your protection? You know, and it's not just as individuals, not just as Christians, as individuals, as human beings. It's not just what you are. It's not just who you are and how you behave, you know, but how do you treat people? You know, it's not that you're not Puerto Rican or you're not Latino. Your value as a person reflects in how you treat people that is the opposite to you. So how can we say that it is okay to mistreat and abuse and disqualify someone, whoever that is, mm-hmm. language, culture, color, gender, preferences, professions, whatever. So I think that as Christians, especially in this time, what we need to consider, it's not what I believe in. No, how are you treating people, and why am I trusting you in that? Mm-hmm. Who am I making you, and what kind of person are you? And I think that the silence, you know, it's a convenient silence. Hmm. When we talk about something very specific and don't talk about these things, it's a convenient silence. And it's a lot of lies that we're covering. That's all it is.
Wow. It's a lot of lies that we're covering. Johnson, questions, and follow-up questions. While we still have some more, we have 6 minutes with some more.
How do you want, or how should we stand with the Puerto Rican community at this time?
Good question.
Not just at the election, but even after Tuesday. What is needed for us, not just the African American church, but in the Christian community at large, to support and to bring awareness to the Puerto Rican culture?
I think that this is not a Puerto Rican problem. Let's be clear on that. I think Puerto Ricans were mentioned, mm-hmm. you know, by name, but we've been mentioned in Latinos, you know. So I think that the church in general, people in general, you know, in the mainland, in the United States, the best thing that we can do for Latinos, for Hispanic people, is just to make sure that people know who they are. You know, I think that it's not ignorance. It's not lack of information. It's just not being able to relate to people. And I think one of the most important things that we need to do and continue doing wherever we are serving, wherever we are working, is to continue creating spaces where diversity, where inclusiveness, where respect, where love, where differences are welcome. And I think that's the best thing we can do, not just for Puerto Ricans. Puerto Ricans is just one small group of all the Latinos that they're trying to eliminate from the reality of the United States, but creating those spaces where we all find not just common ground, but the wonderful things that we do together to make this country and a better place. That's the only way we're going to do it. Creating spaces of community where we all belong and we all feel that we are welcome and respected and loved.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Bishop, any closing, not closing for the show, but Zamora has to leave in 4 minutes. Any comments or questions that you have before she has to leave?
No, just the fact that your outlook, you know, and response to the tragedy that has occurred based on, you know, verbal kind of abuse in a sense, and your outlook is rewarding. It's something that I do know that is important for unity. And that's pretty much kind of what you're speaking about, is for us to be unified. And so, again, I commend just your heart and your compassion to do ministry in the way that God has called us to do it. And so, you know, I congratulate you in that regard.
And so, Zamora, this is what I'm also going to do. One of my church members from Puerto Rico moved back to Puerto Rico. I'm going to get her contact information. I don't know what part of Puerto Rico she's in. If she's in an area that's close proximity to you when you travel back to Puerto Rico, I definitely want like you to reach out to her. She's good people, good people. I hated the fact that she had to go back to Puerto Rico, you know. But, you know, we as pastors, we don't hold on to those who feel led to make that transition and everything. And she's still active with us on Facebook in a virtual space. We miss her dearly. But when I put that video out, I had to stand with her and stand for her, as well as you and Gracie and Antonio, CBF, and there's probably others that I'm leaving out as well. But I had to stand for my brothers and sisters. I had to stand for my sister-in-law, my niece, my nephews, those with whom I know, CBF, et cetera. And even if I did not know, you know, even if I didn't know anybody from Puerto Rico, I still would have stood, because we as Christians can't let someone who holds a Bible upside down get away with the nonsense. You got, I mean, there's a difference between holding it in the hand, as Raphael Warnock says, and holding it in the heart. And, you know, it's bad when you can hold a Bible upside down, but the word of God can't turn you right side up. That's bad. That's bad. And if any three of y'all, any three of y'all preach that, I'm going to sue y'all and get y'all love offering. Anyway, but no, tell y'all.
You know, and I really want to thank you and appreciate your words. And like I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, you know what? I'm not worried about Puerto Ricans. There's a lot of privileges and rights that will not be taken away from us because we are Americans.
Right.
But when things like this happen, we know that there's a bigger audience and there's a bigger target. And that continues to be Latinos in the United States. Mm-hmm. We still have an immigration issue that needs to be solved. We have... there's so many things in the Hispanic community that we need to address. And when these things happen, it's just a little example on how big and how drastic changes need to happen and to be. So I want to thank you for standing up for Latinos and Puerto Ricans and everything that I know you already do in your own communities and your own spaces of work and ministry. And as long as we continue opening spaces and doing the right thing, I think that we're bigger, maybe not louder, but we're definitely more and bigger and smarter for sure. So, but keep that Latino community in your prayers and in your thoughts because they are the target. They are the target.
Well, tell your husband I said hello. We interviewed him, I think, three years ago, a crisis that was going on in Cuba. We interviewed him on Conversation Unplugged. So tell your husband I said hello, and we're definitely going to have the both of you back and keep up the work that you're doing, not only in Florida, but also in Puerto Rico for not only the church, but CBF as well. All right? Hey, take care and God bless them. And thank you for the insight.
Thank you all.
What we're going to do now, we're going to go on a 30-second station break on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. Let's go on our 30-second station break right now. Hi, this is Reverend Dr. Wayne M. Weathers. Not only am I the radio show host of Conversation Unplugged, but I'm also a life coach with BFG LLC. BFG means Bound for Greatness. As a life coach, what I do is I coach people to the goals and objectives that they would like to obtain. Whether you're a business entrepreneur, whether you're just trying to figure out certain things in life, utilize my services. Give me a call, 484-324-8397. Let's have a consultation so I can be your life coach so that you can achieve greatness that you're bound to get. Take care. We're back on Conversation Unplugged on WWDB 860 AM in the city of brotherly love and sisterly affection. My name is Reverend Dr. Wayne Weathers with co-host Pastor Robert Johnson as well as Bishop Dr. Kevin Aiken. Thank you, Sister Zamora. I know you had to go. Reverend Zamora, I know you had to go at 1:30. It's always a blessing to have you on Conversation Unplugged. You and your husband are doing great work in the name of the Lord. And so thank you for the insight. Before we get into the other half of the show, share with me your thoughts, Pastor Johnson. What were your thoughts about the interview? What insights were we able to get as we unplugged the subject?
We have got to find a way to bring the communities together that are fighting the same battles, but may look differently and may come from different points of origin. But there is strength in numbers.
Yes.
And I think that sometimes what we have to do is we have to be intentional about reaching across the aisle, reaching across the street, reaching across the city to grab brothers and sisters who are Latino, who are Asian, who are African, who are Dominican, who are whatever they are. And we have got to embrace them because the struggles are real and that there's strength in numbers. And I think that what we have to do is we have to find a way to bring people of goodwill together and community together so that we can start making a change in this place we call America.
Wow. You know what? There were some comments and I couldn't see it on my phone. But Rasheen Glenn says, I stand with y'all. People need to educate themselves on your heritage and community. So sorry, Rasheen, I just saw your comment. I was looking for my phone, but did not see the comment until now. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. Your thoughts, Bishop?
I think the biggest thing is the awareness of where we are. It really, really speaks of presently the state of divide. We see so much that we have not only become desensitized to, but the fact that we're in a space right now where we can actually, you know, see it. It has grown to the point of exposure. Mm-hmm. And even when I mentioned about the idea of exposure, it's almost like the emperor that has no clothes on, but understands that they don't have it on. Hmm. And this is bold. Continue to operate and divide where we are, and so just the guests that we do have that awareness of unity and peace, and knowing that through conflict, there's growth. She brings out, of course, that idea of growing together in the midst of adversity. And so it's just when we look at where we are, and again, the great divide, and also there's a double standard that we have here. I mean, I know we, you know, we may get into that in our conversation, but we move from speaking about trash or garbage. And then when we begin to respond in with the same language,
right,
there is now, you know, what did we do? You know, what happened? What did, you know, and again, you know, any name calling, we have to be stopped. In a sense. So, you know, we don't want to embrace that, but just the double standard, recognizing that.
Wow. Wow. So let's make the transition. Let's make the switch here. You follow me? And I was doing some research. Sorry for the keys and noise in the background. I normally don't quote Wikipedia. I don't. But I want to start out by quoting Wikipedia. The watermelon stereotype is the stereotypical view that Black people can be made happy easily. They only need a watermelon and a little rest for their happiness. The stereotype was perpetuated in minstrel shows, often depicting African Americans as ignorant, work and work shy, given to song and dance, and ordinarily fond of watermelon. This stereotype is common in the United States and probably goes back to slavery. Reason why I start off reading that particular comment about watermelon, because the non-funny comedian at this particular rally made the following statements. And for those who see me looking the other way, it's not like I'm not interested. It's going to have another computer screen. And it says, during his address on Sunday night, the non-funny comedian also employed racist tropes about Black Americans and Jews. He said, and non-funny comedian wasn't what the paper said, I just added that. He said he and Black audience members, he and a Black audience member, because he said, I'm going to get it verbatim because this is kind of watering it down. He points out an African American, right, and out of the audience, and then says to him that he and that Black audience can carve watermelon together. And then he goes on to say that Jews have a hard time throwing that paper, an apparent reference to a stereotype that Jewish people are cheap. Here's my African American. He and I can get together and cut watermelon. Start with you, Bishop. Start with you. I'm going to hold back until I hear from Bishop and Johnson. Let me start with you.
No, it's... Again, it's a travesty when it comes to the point of, you know, taking us backwards instead of forward. It's the first thing that I recognize, you know, it's like when you deal with the minstrel shows, you deal with all the kind of things like that that's taking place that African-Americans have gone through. You know, it's just a travesty when you get to the point of having to kind of revisit this stuff over and over and over again. It's heart-wrenching. It can be depressing. A lot of emotions can happen, and you can actually throw up your hands and say, you know, how far are we? Did we really come? How far did we go? I mean, you know, when you look back and you look forward, you're running in place, you know, and so it's like, when will this end? And we, you know, it just seems like we're 50 years backwards. You know, when we really look at it. So, again, we have to get ourselves prepared and get ready in a sense to fight with prayer and to fight with, you know, unity and love, because, again, what Kamala Harris was speaking about when she says, hey, you know, I'm looking to band everybody together, looking to become unified. I mean, regardless of who likes me or who doesn't, I think that's the stance that we all really need to have. when it comes to trying to moving this needle in the narrative forward. It's just difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It is. The reality of it is difficult. You know, so I am in a place where, again, prayer is important. Prayer is essential. And so we have to begin to look at that and get to our congregations and our families and our churches and pretty much say, hey, let us begin to pray.
Yeah. Johnson, your thoughts?
This is tough. This is tough in the context in which I serve. Mm. This is tough because we're talking about understanding that comment, the watermelon comment, was a dog whistle.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many of our current generation will understand that comment. I don't think it was meant for the current generation. I think it was meant for those who are Old South, those who are very conservative. They got it. I got it immediately. And then for me having to explain it to people who may not understand it, it made me uncomfortable to have to go back and explain how hurtful that comment is to people who just wanted to support a candidate and not a movement.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you talk about the divisiveness of the other, again, we were, with that comment, relegated to the other. There was a white supremacist comment that was by a comedian who was picked by the campaign to be white supremacist.
Hey, Johnson.
I did.
Hey, Johnson, one quick 5 seconds with that. Not only pick, but before they bring you out, they vet you also. I just wanted to add that, but go ahead.
They vet you. They're right. They vet you. And so I did not hear until after the stuff hit the fan, the Trump campaign come out and say his views did not represent the campaign. It did.
Mm-hmm.
It did. Remember now, Bishop, and remember Dr. Weathers, that Donald Trump has already said that if he loses the election,
yeah,
blame the Jews.
Oh yeah.
Because he's trending 40% behind. And if I lose the election, blame the Jews.
Yep.
If I lose the election, it's because the immigrants are voting illegally. If I lose the election, it's because the African Americans are for Kamala Harris, because she's a diversity and inclusion hire. And it's not just about what the comedian said. It's what we stand for,
mm-hmm,
and what we allow to happen to us and others in America. And it's more about coming together as a country, as people of goodwill, and standing against the rhetoric and the racism. And it's not about marching. It's about voting.
Mm-hmm.
It's about having people to understand that the threat to our dignity, the disrespect to our communities cannot stand. And it's not just about one candidate. It's about a whole culture of folk who want to take us back to the days of the 40s, the 50s, and even in the 1800s if they could.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're afraid of the movement that is happening right now and the self-determination of Jews, of Latinos, of Asians, and African Americans, because the country is becoming more diverse, and that scares people who have white privilege.
So what I enjoy, I really don't enjoy, so let me use that as a couch, but what I enjoy about this racist comment being brought out is because even though they may not know or understand, the young black man who says, I'm voting for Trump because he keeps it real, or I'm voting for Trump because he's gangster. Well, you better, the one thing you don't want in office is a racist gangster. You don't want a gangster, period. But you definitely don't want a racist gangster, because a racist gangster will put a hit on those with whom he has aught against because of their race. Period. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I'm glad it did come out, because if anybody was sleeping and was on the fence, For some, it woke them up. Right. You know, for some, it woke them up. And, you know, out of all places, Madison Square Garden, New York City, heart of immigration. You got me? Heart of immigration back to the 1800s. Heart of immigration. It's in New York City at a rally that one person put it, I think, on The View that it was a white supremacist rally. A white supremacist rally. The comment about us and watermelons and so on and so forth, you're basically just exposing what folks are saying behind closed doors. You just had the guts to say it, though you wasn't funny, but you had the guts to say it. And I don't applaud him for saying it. What I do is I applaud the fact that what you're saying in the dark is now coming out in the light. What amazes me is that when the comments was made, all of the mainstream media, and I'm not using that because Trump uses that, but the mainstream media or corporate or the corporate news networks only focused on the Puerto Rican community, but did not highlight to a certain degree what he said about African Americans. Maybe a blurb here, but the focus was on Latinos and not us. So does that mean that to some we're still invisible? That our concerns don't matter, another ethnicity or race group, their issues matter, but not us. What's your thoughts about that? Bishop, Pastor Johnson, but
go ahead, Bishop. I think one of the things that we have to understand is that if we don't bring it up, we can't let anybody fight for us and think for us.
That's
we
right.
have to bring it up and make it and make it the forefront of the attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things that you got to understand is that the Jewish community caught on to it real quick. And they were forefront with it and saying, you know what, that was an anti-Semitic. And usually when people say anti-Semitism, it perks up quicker than it does when you say it's racist.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because of the network that the Jewish community has, which I wish that we had, that you will not disrespect us because there is a consequence if you disrespect us.
That's right.
We used to have
and
that.
We need to have the same. We right. used to, but you know, right. I believe what happened is, and I hate to say this, please forgive me, everybody, but I think that in our striving to be equal, we yeah. forgot that we have a voice to be heard. We don't want to be the same. We want to be unique, and you will not disrespect us because we want to be equal.
Yeah.
And so, when equality does not mean we lay down our humanness.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe that what mainstream media did. Now, what you didn't say, Dr. Weathers, is that when I was looking at the Morning Joe program, is that when he did the Puerto Rican comment and he did the African American comment, there were people who walked out of the venue.
I didn't know. Wow. Wow. I missed that one.
There were people wow. who walked out of the venue. He didn't get laughs when he said about the floating island of garbage. People like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If you look at the tape, people weren't clapping, and it was a very uneasiness. When he made the watermelon comment, it was almost silent. When he did the Jewish comment, guess what? People were just like, It was a very uneasiness about it. And the key was that those people in that room realized that, wait a minute, maybe this has gone too far. And there were people who were walking out of the venue in Madison Square Garden because they were uneased by the comments that he made.
Wow.
Here's the irony of it. The irony of it is, and that's one of the areas that I actually were going to respond to, was the desensitizing, in a sense, from that standpoint, is one area that I was going to walk in. And the others, when you mentioned about the coming together and the Jewish community banding together, you know, and even the idea of what is sell out. The one thing that we have to really recognize is that, again, there is a divide within the divide. And that's really kind of the platform that we have to deal with when it comes to that. We have definitely become divided as a race. And we see this and we understand it. I mean, any time that you have to get to the point of trying to fight to immobilize African-American males and trying to rally around and then say, you know, why would you vote for X, Y, and Z? And then you have to begin to start now, you know, giving in the information and putting that, you know, it's, and to have the some of the immigrants, some of those that are have their visa and are American citizens, got their citizenship, for them to get to the point of saying, you know, I am with the unification, you know, of our people or of United States. I am not with the divide. So when you look at all the accusations, when you look at the you know, the conversations against the racism and all that kind of stuff, we have, as a people, have to come together and recognize who's selling who out in our own party.
It's going to be another subject.
But I also, you asked a question before, and I think that it bears saying. You asked a question about the evangelical silence. But the question needs to be known is, where is the rest of the churches? Why is the rest of the church silent in the midst of everything that is being said? Where are the people who are on the grassroots, on the ground, who serve in Latino communities and African-American communities, who have this great ecumenical thing with Jews? What are we going to do? What's our next steps after Tuesday? Because after Tuesday, the racism is still going to remain. After Tuesday, we're still going to have the situations. What do we do after Tuesday to build the beloved community?
Just something I want to go back and add a comment. Then I definitely want to respond to what you just said, Bishop, and also to what you, I mean, to Pastor Johnson, and also what you said, Bishop. We only have like 3 minutes left. You talked about equality. I forgot the context, which you talked about maybe about 5 or so minutes ago, right? And something hit me as you were talking, and it was like, a simulated equality is not equality. You got me? A simulated equality is not equality. It's just conformity to the dominant society that doesn't give you access to information or resources to participate in their society. They just want you to mirror what they do without giving you access of how to get the resources for what they do. And so, and that's what we're facing in a simulated equality. That's not equality. It's animated equality. You got me? The silence is, we've got so caught up into the dignity of our religion that we forgot the theology of what we practice. And the dignity is, we got to look good and we got to represent. And the dignity has gone high definition in 4K, because now that dignity has elevated to, I need my own platform, my own mini, my own media, my own ministry, my own stage, my own this, my own that. And if it doesn't fall within that pericope, or if it doesn't fall within that landscape, then talking about social justice for African Americans and Puerto Ricans and Haitians and et cetera, it doesn't come out there, doesn't come out of our people's mouth, because we got caught up into the self and selfish of our practice of Christianity and theology, that we've never really engaged what Jesus has called us to do.
That's right.
So it's all about, where can I preach? How many people can I contact? How many rooms can be filled in a place where I can get a preaching engagement? How can I buck the system to get a position to get to the top while all my brothers and sisters is down on the bottom? Let's get ready to close this out. We got a few days left. We got a few days left and we got a decision to make. Forward or backward? Do we let 45 become 47? Or do Kamala Harris make history and become 47? I know we're not supposed to do certain things, but I'm going to do it because I hear other people doing it. My support is for Kamala Harris. I work on her campaign, and I'm happy to say it, and I'm proud to say it. And I hope we can make history on Tuesday. And I tell you what, from now until Tuesday, I'm going to keep these bags under my eyes and keep working to make sure she get across the finish line. We want to thank Sister Zamora out of Florida, who's Puerto Rican, from Puerto Rico, who gave us insight about the craziness of the disparaging comments. Thank you for being a supporter of Conversation Unplugged. We're still going to get our podcasts up. Just so many things going on. But I'll say this. Let God charge us so that we can unplug conversations to transform, educate, and bring communities together. Because if we don't talk about it, nobody else will for our people. Thank you, Bishop Bacon. Thank you, Pastor Johnson. Thank you for joining Conversation Unplugged. We're going to unplug so we can plug back in next week. Take care and God bless.